Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Good to have you with us on this Memorial Day episode of Dog Nation Daily. Thanks for spending your time with us. Hopefully, we'll have a fun show coming up for you. In just a few minutes, we're going to hear from Mitch Light, who is a terrific college football analyst, the managing editor of Athlon Sports and their preseason college football magazines, both the national edition and the SEC edition. We'll talk to him about where they have Georgia, where they rank the SEC. We'll do all that with Mitch Light coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, and I'm going to be brief in my comments today, but before that, I want to give a little piece of advice to Georgia Athletic Director Greg McGarrity. As many of you are aware, this athletic board meeting has been going on in St. Simon's, posh resort, comfortable locale. It must be nice to be in the college administration business, but nonetheless, these folks have kind of gotten together down there, and they've approved the budget for the upcoming year. Seth Emerson's been covering it for DogNation.com. Greg McGarrity's had some words, gave a speech, and Jerry Moorhead, the university president's been there. Kind of a lot's been going on. One thing in particular, though, that Greg McGarrity brought up, I do think is worth us spending a minute or two here on Dog Nation Daily today, because Greg McGarrity had a specific message for Georgia fans. As a matter of fact, I want to read part of it to you here. At the end of his speech, kind of challenging everyone to sort of rally around Georgia, as recorded by Seth Emerson at DogNation.com, McGarrity says, "Let us not be distracted by those who attempt to divide us. We must be united and stronger than ever before to help move our athletic program forward." Now, Seth Emerson goes on to write, asked what he meant by distracted by those who seek to divide us. McGarrity said he wouldn't elaborate. He said he'd talk about it later, that he wanted to be careful with his words. But when McGarrity was carefully choosing words and speaking, he spoke about the idea of unifying Dog Nation, Georgia fans uniting around the Georgia athletic program. And it's that word in particular that I find to be a little bit interesting here, the idea of unity. How do you get Georgia fans to unify? Well, really, in life, there's really only two ways to get anybody to unify around anything. People unify around people, and people unify around ideas. One of the two is really the only thing that people ever really unify around. And what you see over the course of time is unifying around a person has a way of not lasting very long. People who support a politician are often let down by that politician at some point in time in the future. But on the other hand, the unity that comes because of an idea, that's the kind of unity that can, to some degree, maybe even be everlasting. But the question here for Georgia is if fans are going to unite around an idea, what exactly is that idea? I think one of the things that frustrates so many Georgia fans about Greg McGarrity is that he doesn't provide that as Georgia athletic director. He likes the idea of unity, but it almost seems like McGarrity is arguing for unity's sake, as opposed to uniting around something that's truly going to make Georgia better. So if Greg McGarrity wanted to be the kind of administrator, the kind of leader, the kind of athletic director that did truly cause people to unite around him, then I think it's important that he start delivering an idea worth uniting around. Now, I won't pretend to be as smart as McGarrity, who's an athletic director leading a major university, but it does seem like there's oftentimes missing something from McGarrity's speeches, missing something from McGarrity's message to fans as delivered through the media. And what seems to be missing is that outright expression of a commitment to nothing less than the very best when it comes to college athletics. Sure, in that same piece at DogNation.com I just spoke about, McGarrity alludes to the Athletic Association goal of having every program in the NCAA tournament, and on the one hand, that may seem like a respectable goal, but compared against other standards, that seems like somewhat of a meager accomplishment. Just being in the tournament may still put you a far cry away from being in the national championship picture, which is to say nothing of football, which only has the four-team college football playoff tournament. It seems like that, as a athletic association goal, probably somewhat misses the mark. Instead, what I think that Georgia fans would want to hear Greg McGarrity say a little more is that he truly believes it's the job of him as Georgia AD and the job of the Athletic Association to fund the football program into such a degree that it leads to a national championship, and nothing less will do. And if the Georgia football program truly is in the national championship business, then all the sports are going to benefit in the long haul. And all these people who enjoy making this trip to St. Simon's and staying in a nice resort to vote on a budget that's already been decided upon, all of a sudden, there'll be a lot more money for them to take a lot more of those kinds of trips. But the point, though, here is that for these kind of things to happen, the athletic director, the leader of the organization, needs to point the athletic association in that direction. Now, ultimately, it's Kirby Smart and the coaches who are going to truly achieve this goal, but the athletic director can help by stating it explicitly as the goal. And yet, actually winning championships seems to be a conversation that McGarrity seems to want to avoid. So if Greg McGarrity wants Georgia fans to unite, starting a conversation about that and how that needs to change, that might actually be a pretty good place to start. My name's Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Happy Memorial Day. Thanks so much for being with us. I am pre-recording the show. That means no video today, no radio either. We'll be back on Facebook Live and on 960 The Ref in Athens on Tuesday. But glad to have you with us here for the audio portion of the show today. We're going to have a fun one coming up. I'll tell you more about that. Before I do that, though, let me hit a few things for you here, including the Dog Nation invasion to South Bend coming up this September. We're really excited about that. And one of the reasons it's possible is because of great sponsors like U.S. Auto Sales. And did you know that the average buy here, pay here car is like 8 to 10 years old? But the average age of the cars at U.S. Auto Sales is just 3. You see, new car dealerships want good credit, and the buy here, pay here guys, they're going to overcharge you for tired old beaters with fresh wax and air freshener. But at U.S. Auto Sales, they're different. They've got better, newer model vehicles and quick and easy in-house financing. So regardless of your scores, you get more with U.S. Auto Sales, and that's a fact. Check them out online at usautosales.info. I'll also tell you there's now 151 days away, if I'm doing the math correctly. Maybe I'm not, but if I'm doing the math correctly, 151 days away from Georgia, Florida, the world's largest outdoor cocktail party in Jacksonville this October. By the way, shopdognation.com, Gator Hater t-shirts. Have heard from some of you that we were out of the bigger sizes. Talk to my folks here in the Dog Nation World headquarters. Apparently, we have restocked double extra large and triple extra large Gator Hater t-shirts, so you can get those with free shipping at shopdognation.com. Really fun show for you, including an interview, and I played you a snippet of this on Friday's show, but you get a chance to hear the full thing here today, and it's really good. Y'all know that I love college football preview magazines. I think the Athlon Preview is one of the best. Mitch Light is the managing editor of Athlon Sports, a terrific college football analyst, a guy that's been covering it for a long time. Great insight into Georgia, including those controversial comments that one anonymous coach made about Jacob Eason and a whole lot more. Hope you enjoy Mitch Light, and of course, we really appreciate you being with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. I want to welcome back a good friend here to Dog Nation Daily, a guy who's a part of something I enjoy each and every year around this time. From Athlon Sports, it is Mitch Light. He is the managing editor, and the college football preview magazines are on newsstands right now. As a matter of fact, I've got the SEC and the National Edition right here in my hands. Mitch, welcome back to Dog Nation Daily. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Brandon. Thanks for having me on.
So I got to ask you this question first and foremost, and I think I've told you this before, but and I don't just say this. I am legitimately a big fan of college football preview magazines. I love reading these things, The Pool. I've been doing that really kind of my whole life. And when it comes to the regional covers, I've got the Nick Chubb cover in my hand, as I'm sure you would probably expect. Does everybody get a regional cover? Is that for all the SEC teams, or is there a cutoff point for the schools that don't get regional covers? How exactly does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. In fact, every Power 5 school is on a cover, except for Wake Forest and Duke, and that's more logistics that there being four ACC schools in a tight area there. It's a sure. circulation thing. So historically, we had every SEC team would be on a cover, but here in Tennessee, like Vanderbilt would be inset, a smaller photo with Tennessee, and in Mississippi, we'd have a Mississippi State and Ole Miss split cover, and Alabama Auburn split cover. But one of the things that I really kind of championed when I was made managing editor was to do more covers because, hey, if you're an Alabama fan, you want to buy a magazine with an Alabama player on it.
Right.
You don't want an Auburn player on it.
Yeah.
And same thing with Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and all that stuff. So actually every SEC team has its own cover now. So we do 14 SEC covers. And then, sort of like Washington and Washington State are split. Cal, Stanford are split. And some of the other conferences where we don't sell as much and the circulation isn't as great, we do split covers. But all in all, we have about 50 or in the 40s regional covers. So that gets to be a lot.
When I was a kid, I absolutely fell into the trap that you would assume that a lot of kids would fall into. I walk into my, you know, local store or whatever. I see Lars Tate, the Georgia running back, on the cover of these magazines. I'm like, wow, Georgia's going to be great this year because this guy is in the cover of every one of these magazines. At the time, not really realizing that, you know, what a sales enticement that it is to actually put the local hero on the magazine.
Yeah, well, that's actually, you know, Athlon was the first regional preview magazine. Street & Smith was the first college football preview magazine, but Athlon was actually started by a guy who was a journalism student at the University of Tennessee and was a big SEC fan, and this is going back 50 years. He said he was sick of reading about schools like USC and Penn State. He wanted to read about SEC schools, so as a journalism project, he started something called Southeastern Football, and then he moved back home after college, and that turned into Athlon Sports. And so that's how the regional editions were born.
That's a really interesting story. That's a great story, in fact. When it comes to this year's magazine, from a Georgia standpoint, what I found to be the most interesting was, and I hope people buy it and read it all for themselves, but the anonymous SEC coaches' kind of evaluation of Georgia included what I thought were some pretty harsh words for Jacob Eason. And I don't know that it's completely unfair. I don't know that the ultimate prediction is going to prove to be inaccurate. But the notion that maybe Eason doesn't love football enough, you know, maybe his lack of passion for the film room and the extra work that needs to be put in has led to some inconsistency on the field. I thought that was interesting to hear an SEC coach give voice to that, and unfortunately I don't know that there's necessarily an on-field defense up to this point for Eason in terms of that kind of criticism. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I'm very cognizant of the fact that, you know, these anonymous quotes, and I don't accumulate them all. I don't get them all. I do some of them, but I have trusted writers who do it. And we try and get multiple coaches for each school, because you never know if someone's got an axe to grind. You know, these coaches love to gossip. They love to talk. But the point of this isn't to find negative stuff. It's to find some interesting things that, you know, us as media or fans might not be aware of. But that's something that's come up talking to other people. It doesn't. If Jacob Eason doesn't love football like everyone else, doesn't make him a bad kid, and I'm not saying that's the case, but it takes a certain commitment level, to be a great quarterback. And I think some people might, from a coaching standpoint, some people might look at Jacob Eason and say, wow, that kid's got it all. He's got all the talent in the world. If he just worked as hard as that walk-on or that third-string quarterback, he could be the best quarterback in the country. But, you know, we'll find out. He was a true freshman. You know, it could have taken a while to adjust to the rigors of practice, academics, and all that stuff. But I think that's definitely going to be a storyline at Georgia, is the development of Jacob Eason, because these guys are great. You know, when he comes in like that, you plug him in there and you expect him to be great. And I mean, I don't need to tell Georgia fans, it took Matthew Stafford, who's one of the most physically gifted college quarterbacks we've seen in the last 10 or 15 years. He was kind of mediocre as a freshman that ended up having a great career. The interesting thing to me is the buzz about Jake Fromm as a backup and as a guy who might actually push him. You're kind of hearing the same thing in Alabama, with Jalen Hurts, who was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year last year, who might get pushed by their true freshman, the kid from Hawaii. So it's definitely going to be a storyline this year.
So I want to ask you about Jake Fromm for a moment, and I don't want to do too insidery of a question, but there was something I thought was kind of interesting. You know, for the people who've read magazines like this before, there's the long Georgia preview, but there's also the sort of the small capsulized description of Georgia in the top 25 ranking. And Georgia was ranked, I think, 15th or something, and you guys are ranking. And that includes a few sentences of explanation for why Georgia is ranked where it's ranked. And in those few sentences, Jake Fromm's name gets mentioned. So I sort of picture the person that reads that as not necessarily being a Georgia fan, but maybe a fan in Chicago or L.A., New York, somewhere like that, who says, okay, here's a few sentences about Georgia that I don't already know. And for you guys, you felt like that Jake Fromm was a name worth telling to someone who may be outside the SEC or outside the Georgia fandom world about what's relevant about Georgia, which leads me to believe that Athlon thinks that Jake Fromm is more than just a popular backup quarterback. He's truly a relevant player and potentially even relevant as a true freshman.
Yeah, I'll answer that by saying I don't think Jake Fromm will start a game this year. And you know the situation better than we do. But I think just from talking to enough people and enough, to what was going on in the offseason this spring, that it was worth mentioning that it's just because this guy came in, Jacob Eason, and started as a freshman was pretty good. It's not guaranteed that he's going to be the starter all year. I think it's kind of in that, in those little paragraphs in the top 25, which isn't, you know, expected to be a huge deep dive into the team. You're just trying to tell the team, okay, I mean, tell a casual fan, this is Georgia. You've heard about this quarterback, Jacob Eason, but watch out. He might get challenged. Here's Georgia. They got these good running backs back. And, oh, by the way, everyone's back on defense. To me, the quarterback situation is a bullet point that merited, you know, mention in that short write-up.
Do you have a gut feeling, an impression of if you think that Jim Chaney, a guy who's, you know, bounced around a lot but had some, you know, at least from an analytic standpoint, an advanced stance standpoint, some decent years at places like Pitt, Arkansas, Tennessee. Do you think he bounces back and has a better year as a coordinator in 2017? Obviously, it wasn't good for him in 2016. Do you have a strong feeling about that one way or another?
Not really. It's, you know, it's tough to evaluate, and I'm just kind of my stance. It's from the outside looking in, it's very difficult to evaluate offensive and defensive coordinators. Sure, you can do a big picture, look at the numbers, and say this is their personnel. They should be better. But it's difficult because we're not there. We're not in the film room. You know, Jacob, you know, with a true freshman quarterback, it's tough to judge a coordinator. Maybe they just weren't comfortable doing a lot of things. I've talked to a lot of coordinators over the years, and that, you know, it's comfort level with the quarterback is the most important factor. It's like, what do they think the quarterback can do? And that affects all of their play calling. I would suspect that they'll be a lot more comfortable this year with the two running backs back and Jacob Eason. But I think it's definitely something worth watching. I know he got, you know, I was down there for the Vanderbilt-Georgia game. I know they got a lot of heat for the late game play call with Zach Cunningham and that game-saving tackle. Quite frankly, I was surprised too. I was surprised that it was McKenzie got the ball, not one of the big running backs. And that's one of those plays, if it works, good call. If it doesn't work, you're opening yourself up to being second-guessed.
So if we bounce around the SEC here for a moment, I think the toughest opinion expressed by your magazine to defend is the fact that you have Tennessee ranked in the top 20. I think it's 19 that Tennessee shows up in the preseason top 25 for you guys there at Athlon. It's hard for me to make a case for Tennessee being one of the 25 best teams in America, but there could be plenty about the Vols that I don't know. Maybe even Quentin Dormany is better if he emerges as the starter. Maybe he's better than I think at quarterback. I mean, what don't I know about Tennessee, or what should Georgia fans know about the Vols to, you know, make them understand why, you know, a group of folks like you guys are going to rank them in the top 25?
Because, I mean, it's a fair point. Here's my take on Tennessee. I think a lot of times the year after expectations, you know, there was so much drama with this team last year with, you know, the Jalen Hurts situation, and they had a lot of top frontline players, Josh Malone. There was just a lot of stuff going on. And when things started to go bad, they started to go really bad there. And they had a ton of injuries, not making excuses, but that's well documented. I know Bob Shoup came in as a defensive coordinator, inherited a lot of veteran guys who've been at Tennessee for a while. He didn't really do all the stuff that he wanted to do. His track record is too good to put up those numbers that he put up last year. I think he thinks he can kind of install more of the stuff that he wants to do. And they still have a very good roster. I mean, this is, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, Brandon, but, you know, I would say four straight top 15 classes with a couple top 10 classes in there. I think the offensive line, which was a weakness in previous years, is going to be a strength. I think despite the losses at running back, I mean, I think John Kelly is a really good running back. The key is the defensive line. If they can get some of those guys healthy, like Khalil McKenzie and Shy Tuttle, I think the defense, like I said earlier, will be good. So, you know, we've got them at 19. I don't think this is a top 10 team by any stretch, but I kind of like this Tennessee team because I think the expectations aren't there. There will be better team chemistry. But then we're also talking about a team with a first-year starting quarterback. So we shall see.
Let me finish with a little bit on the SEC West here for a moment, because it's more fun to pick against Alabama than it is to pick Alabama, because they're good. Yeah, they're just good every single year. And I actually think that this is the kind of year where if you want to make a stand against Alabama, you've got some argument to make here. I don't think the offense is going to be as good without Lane Kiffin as the offensive coordinator. I am very skeptical of Jalen Hurts, and I do think Auburn with Jared Stidham is going to be a lot better. It seems like to me this is actually a pretty good year to pick against Alabama if that's something that you're inclined to do, just to kind of be interesting and different, yet you guys did go with the Tide.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree, because some years we pick, you know, we pick Alabama. I don't know how many years in a row it's been. Actually, we picked Auburn 2 years ago. That didn't work out too well. But some years you pick a team. Like, put it this way, we pick Georgia in the East. If you told me to pick, if I could pick Georgia right now or the field, I would take the field against Georgia in the East. Now we picked Alabama. I would still take Alabama versus the field. Meaning, you know, I could have LSU, Auburn, Texas A&M, any of those teams. I still think the gap is huge. I think the defense, they will reload enough. I mean, some of the guys, like, technically new starters, you know, that those guys have been in the system for 3 or 4 years. I think it's kind of the secret to the what Nick Saban's been able to do that. When they have new starters, it's usually, you know, third-year sophomores or fourth-year juniors. It's not redshirt freshmen or true freshmen. I understand some of the skepticism of Jalen Hurts. When push comes to shove, can he make the big throws down the field? But, hey, you know, won a lot of games last year. True freshman, not really doing that. Their running game is going to be really good. So Auburn scares me a little bit from a defensive standpoint, losing so many guys in the defensive line. I love Stidham. I love their running backs. And LSU scares me from a not really sure about Danny Etling, a championship quarterback, and not sold on Coach O. I think he's got to prove it to prove that he can be a CEO and run a program. So it's definitely going to be an interesting storyline, but I'll stick with the Tide this year.
Hey, Mitch, really good stuff. First of all, thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily. But for the people who want to go and find either the SEC magazine, the national magazine, or what you guys have put out there on newsstands for Athlon Sports, where can they find out more about these magazines and connect with your product?
Well, you can always newsstands everywhere, bookstores, you know, grocery stores, all that stuff. Athlon Sports /store. Can get all of our covers, all of our SEC covers. If someone, you know, I don't know why someone would be anything other than a Georgia fan, but if they are, they could get their Alabama cover, their LSU cover, their Tennessee cover. So we've got all of our covers on our website at athlonsports.com/store.
Hey, Mitch, happy Memorial Day to you. Thanks so much for being on the program. We will look forward to talking to you again soon.
Anytime, Brandon. Take care.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Interesting stuff there from Mitch Light. Always live his time here on Dog Nation Daily. And as I've said before, glad to have you with us here on our Memorial Day broadcast. We'll do our SEC Through here. I'll also remind you, SEC Country Live back again tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the SEC Country Facebook page. Some of the stories I'm sure we'll be talking about, kind of where some of these teams rank in the Athlon Sports Top 25, the preseason poll. We just previewed some of that with Mitch Light a moment ago, but if you're curious about where the rest of these SEC teams going to fall, you do have Alabama at 1, Auburn at 9, LSU at 11, Georgia, as we said before, at 15. Then you got two SEC East teams, Florida and Tennessee at 16 and 19. This is according to the Athlon Sports preseason poll. We just talked to Mitch Light, the managing editor of Athlon College Football Preview Magazine, about some of that. And I'm going to stick by what I said about Alabama, even though you just heard Mitch kind of disagree with this. I do think if you're looking for a reason to pick against Alabama, this year just provides you ample opportunity to do that. Now, I may be wrong. I've been wrong plenty before. But I think the Alabama offense takes a step back. Odds are no one's going to be as good a coordinator as what Lane Kiffin was. Kind of a silly guy off the field. On the field, though, he's super serious and he's a real achiever, and I think that Alabama matching that achievement is just not likely to necessarily happen. I don't know a ton about Brian DeBoer, but I think this is a bit of a reach on Saban's part, and I assume the offense struggles enough for somebody in the SEC West to overtake the Tide. I don't see Alabama winning 4 consecutive SEC championships, in other words. Auburn at 9, I've got no problem with that. Obviously, I'm not rooting for that to happen, but many of you who listen regularly know that I'm kind of high on the Tigers this year a little bit as well. LSU at 11, according to Athlon Sports, don't really see that necessarily. If I thought that before the spring, and I didn't, but if I did, I'd be scared off of it by the way that Danny Etling, the quarterback, or at least the presumed quarterback for LSU, the way he performed this spring, I just didn't get the impression that he had necessarily taken a full hold of that job there. Without a quarterback, it's the same old LSU we've seen for the last couple of years. Georgia does come in at number 15. That feels about right to me. I think there is an argument to be made that Georgia could be slightly better than that. There may be an argument to be made that Georgia could finish slightly worse than that, but at the moment, 15 does feel about right. Florida at 16, don't think they'll finish that high. Tennessee at 19, don't think they'll finish in the top 25. I really don't think the Gators or the Vols, either one, are top 25 teams by the end of the season. I think those picks are somewhat difficult to justify. But it'll be interesting to see because, according to what I just said, I've only got 1, 2, 3, 4 SEC teams in the top 25. Now, based on last year, that seems about right. Based on most years, that's a little light. Is there a top 25 team that will emerge that doesn't look like one right now? If I had to say a team that's likely to do that, I guess Texas A&M would be my first pick on that. South Carolina might be a kind of a cute reach. I think that's still a bit of a stretch to assume that's going to happen. But that might be the two directions I go. Maybe South Carolina, more likely than not Texas A&M as a sort of a surprise ranked team by the end of the year. As far as some of the other fun Athlon picks as it relates to Georgia, Athlon does have Georgia winning the East, but a record of 9-4. And this leads me to ask a question that I think we ask a lot about Georgia around this time of year. If that is what the Dogs do, which sounds very much like a typical Georgia season, but if that's what they do, is that going to be good enough for most Georgia fans? 9-4, as Athlon predicts, SEC East champion and going to the Citrus Bowl. My guess is that there'd still be a little bit of restlessness on the part of some Georgia fans unless something really screwy happened this year to make 9-4 seem a little better than normal. And Kirby Smart was hired to go much better than 9-4 Georgia. Now, he may have a little more patience extended his way as far as getting that to take shape, but improving the record of 2016 by only one game in 2017, for most people, that's not going to feel like enough, and the people who feel that way, I don't necessarily think they're wrong. As far as the team that Georgia would play, according to Athlon Sports, if it goes to the Citrus Bowl with its 9-4 record, or at that point in time, what I imagine would be a 9-3 or 10-2 record, well, they've got Georgia playing the Miami Hurricanes. Obviously, be a Mark Richt versus Kirby Smart matchup. And listen, I think the media loves kind of projecting these two teams playing with each other. I don't know that this is something that Georgia wants to do right now, although if both those teams got into the Citrus Bowl, obviously you're not going to turn down a chance to go to Orlando because you don't want to play Miami. However, I don't think that Georgia's going to have a ton to worry about on this front because I don't think Miami's a Citrus Bowl-level team this season. Yes, I know they show up in a lot of these preseason top 25s by not just the magazines but the websites too, but I don't have Miami being quite that good this year. We'll see how it plays out and make that your SEC through. As we wrap up the show today, I wanted to say real quick, Memorial Day weekends are busy. You know, a lot of you have a lot going on, family, friends, maybe you have work obligations, maybe you're just trying your best to scrape together a little bit of time off before you have to get back to the regular grind on Tuesday. Whatever your story has been this Memorial Day weekend and on this Memorial Day, I just want to tell you how thankful I am that you've chosen to spend some of it with Dog Nation Daily. You know, we like to do this show each and every day because, well, we want to keep that habit alive for you, but we wouldn't be able to do it every day if it wasn't for you. So thanks so much for listening to Dog Nation Daily. And obviously here at Dog Nation Daily and DogNation.com, we are overwhelmed by the sacrifice that so many Americans have made on our behalf, you know, giving their life in the cause of freedom. That's obviously what we honor here today on Memorial Day. And as we celebrate with family and friends, we do so with a heavy heart of knowing the price that's been paid to make all of this possible. Have a great holiday. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.